got a 50-year-old man in cardiac arrest, and our building just lost power.
All right, give me jumper cables, rubber gloves, 3,000 grams of Solmedrol. Stat.
What are you, MacGyver?
No, I'm the Generalist.
For me, this topic gets right to the core of the Generalist. It's not the most exciting, but it goes back to the core of being a doctor, and that's the house call. Now, I've got my Generalist training wheels on, and while I'm sitting down once again with Heidi, we're swapping roles. Heidi, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Ben. I am so happy to talk to you and very happy to talk about house calls because I love them. And I think that they represent all that's wonderful and useful about the patient-family-doc relationship. So I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome, Heidi. Look, I remember laying in my parents' bed when I was a sick little kid and having our local family doctor come and see me. So, you know, tell me, what was your first experience with house calls?
You know, I wasn't exposed to house calls until medical school. And at one point, we had a community rotation and we spent a day with community nursing services. I was completely blown away by what these nurses do. We went and we checked on a patient who was on peritoneal dialysis to see how they were doing. We did a well baby check on a newborn baby and the mom. And we also saw a palliative patient. And I really had no idea that these sorts of services existed, Ben. So when I was in my training, I'm like, I hope I get to do these. And I was lucky enough to join a GP in his practice who did a whole bunch of house calls. So I did them as well on all sorts of patients.
That's really interesting, Heidi. My experience is pretty limited with house calls. As a mid-level doctor, I did some house calls for an after-hours emergency service. So I didn't see as big a spectrum as even you've talked about already. But I did also find them really satisfying. And I just thought it was great seeing the patient in their own environment. And I felt it was really convenient, particularly for parents with sick kids and things. But yeah, so great to hear your experiences.
Yeah, mostly I've limited house calls to those who couldn't come to the clinic and for those for whom seeing them in their home would add an awful lot to the care and help me manage them better. So I'll see some people for acute medical issues, others to manage their chronic issues. And sometimes, admittedly, a lot of the house calls are purely social to check in on our shut-ins. I'll occasionally do house calls on mental health patients too that I'm concerned about with a clear safety plan in place. I'm sad that in recent years I haven't done quite as many house calls as I used to, but I still really enjoy doing them.
Oh, look, it sounds like you're doing a great job for your patients, Heidi. I guess that's what we're there for. And why I think this topic's great is I'm not sure how you feel about it. Now, you're probably working in family medicine. This doesn't happen to the same degree, but in hospital medicine, everyone gets caught up in what kind of doctor they are. And I feel like at times people forget they are doctors at the end of the day. And I think this is just a core experience, a core skill, a core service, and something that really takes us back to, I guess, our roots as a profession. Can you talk me through how else you find that these home visits add value to the healthcare that you provide?
Yeah, there are many reasons why I love house calls and I think they're very important, but I'm going to highlight the top five for you, okay, Ben?
Yeah, go for it.
Number one.
The first thing is this allows people to access healthcare when they might not otherwise be able to. Because for some people, they, you know, don't have transportation. They can't get to your office to see you. So this brings healthcare to them, which is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two.
Secondly, I have learned so much about my patients by seeing them in their home environment and how they function there. That's really important. And I learn more about my patients in one house call than I do in 10 office visits. Like when you're making recommendations to your patients about medications, about exercise, about how to go about managing their health, it really helps to have a good understanding of how they live. And if you're lucky, you might be able to see who they live with and how they interact with those people too.
Yeah, great. I do a little bit of pre-hospital medicine, as you know, Heidi, and I just get a snippet of this kind of info. But you go into people's houses and you just see a better understanding of the whole picture.
Number three.
Thirdly, and I think this is why we need to increase the number of house calls we're doing in general, and that is that it is value-added care. It helps keep people in their homes and it keeps them out of their hospitals. So this is the nice synergy of meeting the patient's goal of staying at home and decreasing healthcare expenditures. There was a nice article in the American Family Physician in summer 2020, just last year, and they looked at a systematic review of 9 studies that evaluated home-based primary care outcomes for homebound older adults. And they found, Ben, which backs up our experience, is that there's fewer hospitalizations, fewer hospital bed days of care, fewer emergency department visits, and fewer long-term care admissions. So this is a win all around.
Yeah, it goes without saying how broad and how important those benefits are to the health service overall, let alone the individual person. That's great.
Yeah, it's cheaper to pay me to go see somebody than it is to admit them through an emergency department for a prolonged hospital stay.
Number four.
Another reason I like house calls is that they support the healthcare team. Where I work, like a lot of areas, there is a very robust healthcare home team. And for us, this is mostly made up of allied healthcare professionals like nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, dietitians. And for our patients who need extra help, they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting for these patients. And when they call me and saying, hey, I'm seeing Mrs. So-and-so, your patient, she's got this funny rash, I'm wondering if you can stop by and see her about it. It's a pleasure to help this team, to support them in their work, and to provide that level of service. It's really unique.
Number five.
And lastly, I do it for strictly selfish reasons because it adds variety to our job. I think any of us who work as generalists or family docs, we have a high need to do different things at different times. So this is a nice way to break up my week and go see people. And it's very rewarding.
Do you ever sneak past any particular places on your way to or from?
Ah, now you're onto something. Yes, if I know I'm going somewhere and I know there's a particular store there or a particular coffee shop on the way that I might not normally go to, it adds to the fun.
Perfect. Yeah. There's the other motivation. Awesome.
Absolutely. It's like, I need to run an errand in that area, so let's go.
Know what could really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
So as we're saying, the home is actually the original office for medical practitioners. I learned some interesting figures actually. So around 1950, half of encounters by doctors were in the home. Fast forward that to 1980, less than 1%. So it really sort of fell off. I agree with you. Where I work, healthcare visits at home are becoming more and more common. But to be honest, it's driven largely by allied healthcare professionals, like you've said. I speak to a few general practitioners about this. And they tell me the main issues are fitting them into their schedule and the time it takes. They tell me that the remuneration is poor and that makes it difficult when they're sort of running a business. And then they have other concerns like safety and access and equipment. How do you make it work, Heidi? Because it sounds like you've got a good system there.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. Before I jump into that, I just want to let you know that home visits are actually on the rise now, according to the AFP. They doubled from 1996 to 2016. Which means they're probably at like less than 2% now instead of 1%. So how do I make it work? Well, as you alluded to, and as I said earlier, a lot of our patients are followed by this allied healthcare services, and that will help triage to figure out if I'm actually the best person to see this patient. And that cuts down on the amount of house calls I need to do with a particular patient. Also, when I see patients in their home, even if it's like just somebody from my practice who is not involved with this healthcare services and I need to quickly go see them, I'm not doing complete primary care in the home. I'm just going to deal with a discrete issue at a particular time. For those who are interested, the AFP really does go into depth into what a primary care assessment in the home could look like actually being a family doctor who just goes to the home and does everything, but that's not how I work. So for me, from a timing perspective, it would actually be unusual for me to be at somebody's house for more than 20 minutes. I'd say most house calls are in the 10 to 15 minute range.
Yeah, I guess having just particular issues that you look into is going to make that a lot easier, isn't it? So that sounds pretty sensible.
It sure does. In terms of timing, like you alluded to, it is tricky. I used to try to let house calls pile up and dedicate a half day or a full day to them, but that is not really efficient for patients. If they call and need a house call about an acute issue and I can't see them until two Fridays from now, that doesn't work. So now I tend to just treat them as add-ons or slip-ins to my day. And as far as remuneration goes, I just remind myself that money isn't everything. I also choose to look at it is that I get paid in currencies other than just money. Like sometimes it's seeing my patients be very happy to be seen in their home. And sometimes, to be honest, it's the nice homemade cookies that I get from some patients.
Well, Heidi, now that you mentioned the cookies, my over-the-road neighbor's been having a hard time and I mowed her lawn for a couple of days ago after I'd finished mine and we got the best big tin of chocolate chip cookies and I think I got one of them. So, but you're spot on, you know, obviously I think from a money point of view, we're doctors, we all do pretty well. So I think the fact that you know you're helping someone, I certainly get a lot out of that as well.
It's not the best paid thing we do, but we still are paid for it and we're very fortunate to be paid for it.
Yeah. You fit these appointments in after you've done a ward round or whenever you can between appointments or whenever there's a, you know, a cafe or a restaurant you feel the need to swing by. So you get in your car, and I know you're really busy, but tell me what you take with you and tell me, you know, what your advice is for all our listeners for mitigating sort of some of the personal safety risks.
Yeah, I used to have a set kit, Ben. I remember when I started practice, I went through the trouble of getting a doctor's bag and filling it with everything I felt that I would need on a house call. But then I realized that I most often didn't need the vast majority of what I brought with me, and I lost the bag a couple of times. So that quickly kiboshed my enthusiasm for having a kit. So what I do now is plan what I bring based on what I anticipate the needs being when I see the patient. Because again, these patients, I know why I'm going to see them. So I know in general what I'll need to bring. Most of the time, I really just need to bring a stethoscope, maybe a blood pressure cuff. If it's something more complicated, oftentimes if they're followed by the allied healthcare professionals, they'll have all the equipment there that we need in terms of like if we're working on dressings with the patients or different medications that may require IV or syringes, that's all there. Occasionally, I've stopped at the hospital to pick up things that may be required for different procedures like a suture kit or anything else. I do have access to getting that equipment there. So pretty thankful for that.
I'd mentioning before that I did some house calls for a couple of years. Can you imagine I used to carry this big fishing tackle box with all these tablets, injectable medications, all these little pieces of equipment. And I reckon the thing I used more than anything was the hand gel between patients.
Right.
I pretty much just carried this big box and just washed my hands with it.
Exactly. The real value is just showing up and interacting with the patient. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I love it is it takes away the technology, it takes away the expected clinical environment, and it's just you talking to a person trying to help them in their own environment. And oftentimes, you just need to wash your hands after the handshake.
I just felt like I carried all this stuff as well, and I thought, geez, I'm not using any of it. I should leave it in the car. Now, when you're an established family doctor like yourself, I'm sure you're doing house calls on people that you know. So you probably feel in a lot of ways that safety is less of an issue. You know, when I was working doing house calls, we were taking new patients with acute problems and going to houses that we'd never been to before and meeting people that we'd never met before. So that's a little bit different. Can you just talk me through, though, in general, what your thoughts were and your ideas are around safety in this house call environment?
Yeah, you made a good point. A lot of us who see our own patients, we know these patients well and we know their families well. So there's an inherent safety there. And if I don't know the patient, let's say I'm on call covering for people, there's usually always one of those allied healthcare people there too. So there's that extra element of safety. The first thing is to be selective who you see. Like, don't see people who you know have a history of violence or who scare you. Just don't go to their house by yourself, especially. So always take somebody with you. I don't always, but again, that's because I know these patients really well. And for some people, I've done multiple house calls there, but that person could be your learner. It could be a staff. It could be another healthcare professional. And sometimes what I found works well is having a patient's family member meet you there because they're going to want to know what's going on with their family member too. So that kind of adds a little bit of safety there too.
That's a great idea.
We also want to make sure that we are expected. You don't want to show up at somebody's house unexpected because, well, that's rude. And also might lead them to not being the person they might not otherwise be. So set the time for the appointment. And I always make sure that my medical office administrator, my secretary, knows where I am. And I let her know when I'm done as well.
Yeah, they're all really good insights. All right, Heidi, can you tell me about pets? Because anytime I'm going to have a tradesperson come to my house, they always want to know if I have a dog.
I learned this the hard way. My brand spanking new resident, like literally her first day of residency, and I, we went to do a house call, and I'll forever have this vision of her running across the snowy field with a big black dog in pursuit. So smart people know to ask patients to kennel their dog or to put it in a separate room before they do the house call so they don't traumatize themselves or residents.
I don't think I'd even think about that, to be honest. So I think it's worth saying.
Yeah, I think about it every time now. And just a couple of other quick things about safety. I always try to meet my patients in a common area of their home if possible, like in a living room, rather than traipsing with them through the bowels of their house to go to some remote place. And I also have a really low threshold for bailing if I feel uncomfortable or calling for help. Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that part of the great thing about this piece is maybe inspiring some of our listeners to do some of this, to get to the patients' homes, giving such a personalized service, but you know, more than anything, we want all our staff to be safe. So thanks. I think they're really, really great points. If we lighten things up just for a moment, what about a favorite house call story?
There are so many, Ben, but there's one that stands out as the most endearing and probably ultimately the most meaningful. And that's a house call that my medical office administrator and I did together on a new mom and her newborn. My MOA let me know one day that this mom was really struggling and she talked to her multiple times on the phone. And my MOA said, you know what? I think we need to do a house call. And I say we because I want to go along with you. So both of us went. We went at bedtime for this like 2 week old. And my MOA is a seasoned, wonderful mother. And she was able to help this new mom learn the basics, like bathing a baby, swaddling a baby. How do you help a baby go to sleep? Really, the house call was just an experienced mom helping a new mom. And I got to do the well baby visit while I was there. I got to examine the baby and check all of those things. And it was neat to know that we made a difference in the well-being of this mother-baby dyad. So that was definitely my favorite.
That's so great.
How about you?
Oh, well, look, I feel bad now, Heidi, because I was teasing you before about stopping at a cafe. My favorite house call story is food related. So my wife and I used to get in these house call cars. We were in a big place and, you know, we'd be driving around all night doing acute calls in houses. And my favorite house call story is that one night we called our sort of practice manager and were able to organize the order of the appointments such that we met at an Indian restaurant for 20 minutes at about 9:30 at night when we've been working in the hospital since 7 in the morning. We even didn't get takeaway. I rang the restaurant and said, look, we'll be there. Put it on the table at this time. And we literally both cars rocked up after covering separate sides of the city. And we had a fairly rushed but somewhat not even at all romantic dinner. But hey,
awesome.
It was some nice Indian foods. That was my favourite story.
Dinner is served.
But your one in so many ways is a lot better. It's great to hear that that new mum getting all the help she needed because it is such a hard time. Let's wrap this up. I'm really glad to hear that you found such a great place of house calls within your practice. And I'm sure your patients really appreciate it. Can you take us through in our last little bit whatever your take-home messages would be to all our colleagues out there that are thinking about whether they should offer them or not or if they can fit them into their schedule? So what would your take-home points or your last little pieces of wisdom be?
Recap.
I would say that house calls are invaluable for your patients and for you. I think they make us better physicians. And I think we need to not be afraid that we won't have the right tools or supports because just showing up matters.
Heidi, thanks so much for your time. That was so interesting to actually flip seats with you now. I felt like the pressure was off me a little bit. I could ask the questions rather than try to answer them, but look, a really enlightening conversation. And again, so happy to have you with us talking about this. It's clearly something that brings you a lot of joy. I think you should be proud of yourself. And thanks again for talking to us.
Oh, thanks, Ben. It's a pleasure.